Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Merit Resources. When you focus on your business grows faster. They can show you how. MeritResources.com. And Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising agency here in the metro, InsightCubed.com.
We're sitting outside, as a matter of fact, at Drake University with Lyle Muller. Lyle is the executive director of Iowa Watch. And the Iowa Watch is this nonprofit organization that watches Iowa media and then reports back to a wider group. Welcome to the News Hour, John. So good to have you.
Well, it's good to be here.
Lyle, so people may not be aware of what Iowa Watch is exactly. So why don't you share with us what it is that you guys do?
Iowa Watch is part of the nonprofit, nonpartisan Iowa Center for Public Affairs Journalism. We're a 501c3 organization. And what we try to do is collaborative journalism to fill gaps that exist because of layoffs in the industry that have existed over the previous years. The collaboration usually is we do a story, we share it with other media, they publish it or air it. But sometimes we do work with other media. A second component of what we do is train college students to do this work at a high level. So most of the stories that Iowa Watch does for its website, iowawatch.org, or for media partners is by college students, and it's done at a level high enough that it can be published anywhere.
Well, Muller, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. We're talking about Iowa Watch and a presentation that he's going to do here at Drake University later on today. Well, that you've already done it now that this airs. What are you going to be sharing with the students here at Drake?
I'm talking with a Drake journalism class about political reporting and how to do in-depth journalism with politics. To get past the surface, we get a lot of surface reporting, as you well know, Michael. Those are the statements such as, I'm here to fight for you, or I'm standing up for the middle class. But we don't ask why and how that works. And that's because we have a finite period of time to tell stories or finite space. What we're talking to students about is to get past the surface and give citizens information that they can have so that they can make an informed vote. They can actually evaluate all of the candidates who are coming through Iowa wanting to be the president of the United States and try to determine what they would do if they were president based on positions and programming that they would like to have.
One of the things that we don't do here on the News Hour, as you know, we don't do politics on the News Hour, but we talk about the business of politics, because certainly it is a business. And Iowa being this caucus state with all kinds of different rules and regulations that are out there for many other places, we have a unique opportunity for business. Candidates buy advertising here. There are overnight stops. There's all kinds of economic development that goes along with the Iowa caucus. But at the same time, getting the word out is incredibly important for all the media. And so many times, Lyle, we are just inundated with sound bites, just short little bits, pieces, you know, and voters are expected to make up their mind on those little tiny bits of information. Iowa Watch does that a little differently, don't you?
We try to go in depth. Our ideal is that we don't care what people say. We care what is. And so we try to talk to college students who want to be journalists to dig into what actually is. There's this saying in journalism, if your mother says she loves you, check it with a second source. And we certainly go by that that modicum. So, yeah, we want to find out what these politicians are about. And you're right, it is a huge business for Iowa. Iowa Watch is going to have a story coming out here in the next few days that talks about the fact that politicians who are running for president right now are spending tons of money in Iowa, and so businesses are getting that income, and the candidates are hardly raising any. And the reason is because their goal in Iowa is not to raise money, it's to spend money so that people will push them on to New Hampshire and South Carolina and onward into the political process.
As we look at this political process that unfolds here in Iowa, and so many people have tuned out politics, but you and I are both political junkies of some sort, but watching the process is absolutely stunning. But there are people, perhaps even in this journalism class, that don't know how the Iowa caucuses work. Are you going to be sharing about how that happens?
Yes, I am, and I believe a lot of people don't understand. And I've seen this in my experiences. The first political caucuses that I covered happened in 1976. So now I've just revealed something about myself and the experience level, but also the age. A lot of people don't understand that the Democratic and the Republican caucuses operate differently. The Democrats, you caucus in viable groups. The Republicans, you simply do a preference vote, then you leave, or you should stay, actually, because then the business of selecting delegates to the county convention takes place. So a lot of people don't understand that. And I always go back to when Pat Robertson did well in Iowa. He came in second place when he ran for president. And I covered a number of caucuses that night. I was a reporter then, and talked to people who were voting in the preference poll at the Republican caucuses and then leaving. And I'd ask them, why are you leaving? And they'd say, well, we voted. And I would explain to them, but they now are selecting the delegates to the county convention, and you aren't going to be in on it. And that was Bob Dole's year of being the nominee for the Republican party.
And as those two caucuses differ, the one with the Republicans going in and simply casting a vote and then selection of the process, the Democrats are exceedingly much more difficult in how they set up their caucus structure. Can you explain a little bit about how that works?
You go into a room and you try to be viable. You have to have 15% of the people in the room. And when you have that, you are allowed to select one amongst yourself to be a delegate to the county convention. And so what that means is you have, if you are Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, you want to have as many viable groups as possible so that you have as many delegates going on. The interesting thing is when you have 14% and then someone is standing over in the corner and you literally watch arguing going on to try to convince. It's caucusing, and it's about as grassroots as you get. And I know it isn't everybody's cup of tea, but I think it's an amazing process that you actually talk face-to-face with your neighbor to try to convince that person who should be president, and that actually launches us into selecting the leader of this country. It's a fascinating, fascinating process.
And we're pretty lucky here in Iowa to have that opportunity. And again, we come back to people being burned out on politics. But where else in the United States do you have the opportunity to sit down and have coffee with any one of the Republican or Democratic candidates and actually ask some of those tough questions? So what is it that you mean by I'm here for all of you, I'm here to increase the opportunity for the middle class? And people outside of Iowa, when I tell them that we have this opportunity, they can't believe it.
Yeah, it is hard to believe, but New Hampshire and South Carolina get the opportunities. And those are states that are independent and tough, too. South Carolina, a little bit more of a red state. But they're tough states, and tough questions get asked. And you can see how it works. Scott Walker actually went to grade school in Iowa, in a state next to us, with a resume that would appeal to a portion of the Republican Party. He did things. So look what happened when he came here and people started examining him and asking him, what would you do as president? He went from being a front runner 6 months ago to being the governor of Wisconsin, finishing out the rest of his term.
Yeah, it's a fascinating process. So back to our conversation that happened today at Drake University. These students that are going out to become journalists, and hopefully that they'll be published or they will be, their work will perhaps turn up on Iowa Watch. What kind of a career opportunity is there? We've seen in many of the journalistic areas a cutting staff. There's been drastic cuts at newspapers. We report each day on Lee Enterprises, for example, and their stock just day before yesterday lost 10%. So there's some real concern about the future of reporters in journalism. Is it going to be a viable profession going forward?
The profession always will be viable because we always have a need to seek the truth. And we need it from independent sources. Journalists do that. They spend the time that's required instead of just swooping in and swooping out. So the need for the profession is there. The question is, what platform delivers journalism? Newspapers are struggling. Ad revenue continues to go down. But yet some newspapers are still hiring, and the Des Moines Register hires, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, where I used to work, is hiring from time to time, but there are fewer jobs. Where the job growth is happening is nonprofit journalism, and that is what Iowa Watch is involved in, and others as well. There is growth there. The problem is the growth in nonprofit journalism is not making up for all of the losses in what has been viewed as the traditional media. So there, we certainly have fewer reporters. Iowa Watch, we exist in order to fill a gap. We're not coming anywhere close to filling that gap, nor even a fraction of it. But at least the stories that we do are being told, as opposed to never being told.
Lyle Muller, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Iowa Watch and his presentation that happened earlier today here at Drake University. We're sitting outside of Meredith Hall, and it's kind of cool to be outside doing this interview because, you know, so badly sometimes do I want to go back to college and just experience this lifestyle. But beyond that, Lyle, you have an event coming up here in the Des Moines Metro that is a way to celebrate some of the things that you do. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's the Celebrating a Free Press and Open Government Banquet. It'll be at the downtown Marriott the night of October 8th. And by the way, you still can get tickets until October 1st at our website, iowawatch.org. But it'll be an interesting evening in which we will give some awards out to people who have exemplified what a free press and open government should be about and how important that is to democracy. The Iowa Freedom of Information Council is a partner of ours, and so they, too, will be giving out their award that night, the Skip Weber Award, mm-hmm. for someone who's done this as well. And we have a special speaker, Ken Paulson, who is the president of Newseum's First Amendment Center. He promises he'll do a program that will show us how little we know about the First Amendment. The interesting thing about the banquet is it's part of a full day of activities aimed at looking at open government and a free press. The Des Moines Register and Iowa Newspaper Association will have a 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock forum at the Register to look into issues that exist when we have cameras on police. What type of open records but also privacy issues exist when you arm police with cameras on their lapels? The Iowa Public Information Board's new executive director, Charlie Smithson, will be available later at 4 o'clock for a meet and greet. The Iowa Freedom of Information Council will have its annual meeting, and then we will have our banquet that night, a reception at 5:30, we'll start serving people at 6:15, and we've promised that we will get people out of there by 8:30.
All right. Lyle Muller, ladies and gentlemen, he is the executive director of Iowa Watch. One final question before we leave, because this is a business program. How does Iowa Watch make money? I mean, how are you able to continue your efforts here in the state of Iowa? What does it cost? How do you do this?
Donations are huge, and so we have a lot of private donors who are individual donors. Actually, all of our donors are not private. I misspoke there. What I meant was individual, because we're all transparent about where we get our funding. Most of our funding comes from the Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation, but that funding is shrinking because we are now in our sixth year. We hit our fifth anniversary earlier this year, and they are telling us it's time for you to get Iowa support. So we get some funding from them. We've received funding from the Knight Foundation to do some programming. And we have some media partners. The Gazette in Cedar Rapids and KCRG has given us funding. But most of it has been donations, and we do some contract work. So donations are huge for us, and I'm so glad to have an opportunity to tell people that if you want to support this kind of journalism, iowawatch.org, there is a donation site there. But we're very serious about transparency, about our funding and why we do this. Our budget is very small. It is $181,000 this year total, and that supports two full-time staffers, a number of volunteers, and an independent contractor who produces a radio program, the Iowa Watch Connection.
Wow. Congratulations, Lyle. We will certainly be able to put those links on this blog so that people know more about Iowa Watch and where they might be able to go to donate.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the opportunity.
We appreciate that. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, we've got to get out of here. It is a Thursday afternoon. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? For all of our guests today, for Tyler Hackenmiller, who's behind the controls, for Jimmy Olson, the voice of Insight on Business, there is Mark McDowell, the program director for the radio stations, our liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.